honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and an episode that is flying by just way too quickly today with Jim Kunkel. I have a feeling we're going to have to continue this conversation into another episode. We don't often do that, but I know you can hear and feel why that's probably going to be necessary with Jim and his story. You'll have the chance to wish him a happy 100th birthday next month at the Central Coast Air Fest in Santa Maria, California. You may even see a P-38 Lightning like the ones Jim flew in Europe.
You know, we've got to talk about your last mission, and I mean, I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to you because I don't know how you survived and how you didn't become a prisoner and how you're still going strong at 100. But before that last mission, were there some other close calls that kind of stand out in your memory that got your attention a little bit, or you said, hey, that almost was my number coming up?
Well, actually, you kind of get accustomed to getting hit. Every time you come in, there'd be a hole in the airplane someplace. Some of our big missions were like we had the German 7th Army trap in the Pilates Gap. It was carnage what we were doing to the Germans. But you're right down on the deck. I can remember when, I think it was the third mission of the day, and the last minute we were still at A1. Well, at A1 we had what they called 11 o'clock curfew. They shut the beachhead down at 11 o'clock, and any aircraft that's flying is now an enemy aircraft. And we actually lost one of our pilots that way. He was coming back on single engine. He was in the landing pattern with landing lights on and recognition lights on, and our guys opened up on him. So we had experiences like that. Some of the missions that I flew, the Germans changed their tactics on. All of a sudden, they seemed to become more interested in the Jabos or the fighter bombers. We had several occasions with the P-38s that were hit pretty hard. And usually it would be a day with cumulus cloud, probably scattered. We'd be on a target, and we had 4-channel VHF. We had no navigation equipment. You couldn't pinpoint anything on the ground except visually. So you're looking for your target, and the Germans would vector the Luftwaffe around. First thing you knew, they were on your 6 o'clock coming in on you. And if you didn't pick them up, why, it got real serious. We had one of our P-38 groups that lost half a squadron from that very thing. They hit them, and they didn't know they were going to be hit, and it was chaos. That was in August, and then one of our squadrons in our group got hit pretty hard. They only lost 4. So we decided that we're going to put some experience on the back end of the squadron instead of putting all of the new guys on somebody's wing and in the aft elements. So we'll put some experience back there. So I several times drew the deal, and in August we were looking for a target. Somebody yelled black in the group, didn't identify himself, so I don't know who it was or what even it was our squadron. I'm checking my 6 o'clock, and here comes a couple of round engines flat on the wing, got to be a 190. They're boring in on us. Well, at the same time I called the brake and made the brake. The squadron kept on going. And at the same time, from about a 45-degree angle, they got hit. I'm back there with two FW-190s going around in a big circle, checking my 6 o'clock and pulling all the Gs I could pull because I had a pretty good idea where they were. And I looked around in front of me, and I had the rudder post of a 190, and on a P-38, you could see your top 250s through the gun sight, and it looked like I had them right around his rudder post. I was right on top of him. And before, I think I got a burst in before, but he did a flick roll like I've never seen. He outrolled my 38 6-1. Wow. And rolled away from me. I'm halfway through the roll trying to stay with him. The leader crossed in front, so he could have nailed me real easy. But apparently he was more interested in sticking with his leader. That was my warning sign. That son of a gun could have got me. Wow. So, and I did not get him. 90 days later, we had the P-38Ls starting to show up, and they had aileron boost, and I could have rolled with that son of a gun. So that was my first enemy aircraft that I saw, but I didn't prevail.
This interview with Distinguished Service Cross recipient Jim Kunkel was made possible because of a good friend of mine, Peter Mersino, who flew me to Jim's hangar at the Santa Ynez Airport, along with the master pilot who taught Peter how to fly, Harold Gallagher. Harold is a veteran who recently returned from Washington, D.C. with Central Valley Honor Flight, Peter serving as his guardian. So I had two pilots sitting in on the interview with this legendary aviator, and Harold wanted to know from Jim if there was any singular American airplane that was considered most feared by German forces during World War II.
That's a good question. I've heard both stories. In fact, I just read an article by this German. He was down in Italy, and the 38 did real well in Italy. He thought the 38 was the most dangerous airplane he had come up again. He was one of their top aces, who later became Air Marshal of the Luftwaffe. Heard stories from and talked with Luftwaffe pilots who thought the 38 was kind of a dog. There's a whole lot of reason behind this. I think when the 38s, remember, we were having such a horrible time with the B-17s. The P-47s were taking them halfway to the target, and then they had to go home. And so they took four P-38 groups, sent them to England with not very much experience. They didn't do well because at that time, this was just before Jimmy Doolittle took over the 8th Air Force, at that time, the fighters had to stay with the bombers. You had no choice in pursuit. If you got on the tail of an enemy aircraft and he dove away from you, you couldn't follow him. You had to break the combat and go back to protect those bombers. Doolittle was the one that finally recognized the fact that you had to destroy those fighters before D-Day. And so the only way you're going to destroy them is have free fire and to go after them. So he spread the groups out, and it was no more of this. Well, the 38 never got the benefit of those later days. Then we had trouble with the British gasoline. The Allison engine did not like the heavy lead in the British fuel that we were using. We had some turbo problems, and one of the big problems with 38, we didn't have any heat in the cockpit. That gets damn cold at altitude to the point that you're almost immobile. So we didn't have that engine in front of us. All we had was those open gun bays with all that cold air coming in. But again, the 38 soldiered through all of that, and they did give some protection to the bombers, and I think some of the heavy guys appreciated it. It was tough going for particularly the winter of 43 and early 44. They had the big week. Well, the Mustang was just coming into its own. The P-47 was doing a good job, but they couldn't go far enough.
We probably all heard that nickname that some Germans gave it at one point, too, for the P-38, the fork-tailed devil. Did you hear that a time or two?
Oh, I've heard that one. I heard it from particularly the people who were strafing. You talk about the benefits of the 38. You had your four guns in that cannon right in front of you in a circle about like that. There's no converging fire, which crossed it maybe wherever you set it, 300 yards, whatever you wanted. But once it meets the convergence point, then it starts spreading out beyond that point. 38, we could kick the nose up, and we could lob those shots in on a ground target. We could be firing at 1,000 yards and hit something. And so you got their heads down before you got there. I always thought that was a great benefit. And the other benefit was you had two engines. If you were hitting a ground target, if you're not firing, that ball is over in the corner. So it looks like you're going one way and you're actually going the other. Anything to help. Other than that, I think all three of our fighters, we were well mounted.
I know I could sit here all day asking you questions, and we've had an hour fly by already, but I haven't even talked to you about that last mission, which in many ways has impacted your life. What was the date of that, and what was the target? And walk me through that.
16th of September, 5:45 in the in the evening. You know, we were out of fuel. We'd overrun our supply lines. We were short on fuel, and so finally we put together this mission, and we were going up into Stuttgart, and we were flying full group, three squadrons, 16 aircraft per squadron. Again, I drew the Purple Heart corner back in the back. It was my turn. And so that was fine. But then I lost my wingman because of fuel. And so we're on our way to Stuttgart. Had our target picked out. The 1st Infantry Division was trying to take Aachen in early September, and it was the first big German city that we tried to on an attack basis. And so we get this call from the controller that they had a hot target, and it was the Germans were trying to reinforce Aachen, and they were putting all these ground troops in the railroad any way they could get them. So we had our basic mission was that two of the squadrons would go down and strafe, dive bomb and strafe, and our squadron would fly top cover for them, because we were having this problem with the Luftwaffe hitting our guys when they least expected it. So we're up there over Aachen. At that time, I think if they'd have taken the damn seat out and turned it around, it would have been a lot. And it, you could fly looking over your shoulder, but it was too damn hard to see those guys coming in on you. And sure enough, here they came. I can see them today. They were coming in at about a 45-degree break, two different goggles coming at us. And they were coming around a cloud, and they were heading right for the group. And so I very carefully called the break. I remember being momentarily hesitating till I got everything, my voice under control. And I called the break, and I made the break. Well, you know, the axiom of a fighter group is that whoever sees the enemy first, don't take your eyes off them, because they're so easy to lose. And whoever sees them first leads the attack. So I had no problem with that. I'm leading the attack. And all of a sudden, I picked out the group to the left, because the 38 turned better to the left. And this other group came around, and all of a sudden I'm starting my pass at the lead aircraft, and all of a sudden I'm getting shot to hell from behind. And I figured there should be a squadron behind me, and it's not there. So then it just became a real, what they nowadays these youngsters call it, a fur ball. It was just full power and a big rat race.
Can you imagine yourself in that scenario? One P-38 up against approximately 20 enemy fighter planes? How in the world are we actually talking to Jim Kunkel if those were the odds he faced? And how might that compare to some of the overwhelming situations you're encountering in your own life? I really hate to do this to you, but you're going to have the next week to think about it, because we're out of time for this week. We will explore every aspect of that mission that earned Jim the Distinguished Service Cross next time on Hometown Heroes. I'll encourage you one more time before we go. Circle October 15th and 16th on your calendar. That is the Central Coast Air Fest in Santa Maria, California, and that's where Jim is going to celebrate birthday number 100. Why not try to find him there and thank him for serving our country? I want to thank you for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll join us again next time, because we can't wait to share the rest of Jim Kunkel's incredible story of survival with you, as we're all reminded again together that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.